I remember when I was in high school, it was a few years ago, but I remember that even in that time, that I can remember questions would come up concerning evolution and creation. And I can understand that there was a great chasm between what the Bible says and what the so-called thinkers and knowledgeable people of our day, the scientists, say concerning the events and the depictions and the facts that are contained in the Bible. And so from time to time I want to examine some reasons why we need to believe the Bible, why we believe the Bible is an honorable and an accurate and a correct conclusion of the things that we seek in understanding how we got here. And so I want to address this morning for a few moments of why I believe the Bible, and that faith is the most reasonable thing when looking at why I should believe the Bible. Faith is most reasonable. There are too many things on the other side of the ledger that leave me in doubt, that leave me with questions, that leave me with things that I cannot reconcile, that leave me in looking at us as just nothing more than an accident, something that just happened, something that took place by chance, something that took place by happenstance. I just believe that there must be more to it than that. Faith in God is most reasonable. And I want to give you some reason why I believe that is so. I want to first of all tell you that everybody believes in something. You believe in something. Whatever it is, however scary it might be, however it might be, we might think irrational, whatever it is. We all believe in something. Brilliant scientists are today more divided than they've ever been. Some believe the Bible. Some believe that the Bible is factual. Some believe the Bible have reached conclusions based upon the teaching of the Bible. And then there are those who disbelieve the Bible. Believe it's nothing more than a book of fairy tales, book of myth and legend. It has no accurate information, has no accurate historical information. And of course, it's not a scientific book. There's nothing we can base any truth upon. It has no absolute truth in it. And so there's both sides of the spectrum are evident by men who consider themselves to be scientific in their thinking. Some are naturalists. They believe only in natural cause, caused by scientific process. If they can't do it in a test tube, if it can't be reproduced, then it is unscientific. It is invalid. It has no purpose, has no meaning, and only the uneducated believe it. Because everything happened by natural cause. But they cannot answer all the questions. These naturalists, they can't answer all the questions. They have to say they don't know. They have to say we're not sure. Or they have to say, well, we can't be absolutely certain. That's too vague. That's too general. I want more detailed, specific answers. Therefore, they bridge some facts and knowledge with new belief. If you listen to them, they act like what they say are fact, as if they're scientific, that if they've been proven, as if they are knowledge, and only the uneducated do not accept them as knowledge. And we should believe them simply on the fact because they tell us. Because surely they're the experts. We're not an expert. We're not a scientist. We don't understand all the biological and chemistry and all the things that take to make up the universe. We're uneducated. So these thinkers and great people of the day, they have the answer and we ought to just accept it without any reservation. But is that true? Is that what I should do? We need to also understand there is not a faith in God, but a faith in human wisdom and the scientific process. The naturalists believe in the scientific process, but here's where the rub is. They even violate their own premise. You can't truly be scientific unless you're scientific in all your conclusions. But some of their conclusions are not scientific. They have no evidence. They have no pattern. They're scientific, the same scientific theory that they try to pass off as fact. That's why they believe what they believe. They violate it in themselves in some of the conclusions that they reach. And I'll show you how in just a moment. They are content to believe what they believe. And isn't that just like people today? I talk to people all the time about religion. I talk to them about the Bible, and they're content in what they believe. I don't want to know what the Bible says. I'm happy in where I'm at. I don't want to know the fact. I'm happy. I'm content. I feel comfortable in my skin, and I feel comfortable in what I believe. And I don't want to discuss it. People are the same way about scientific endeavors. They believe in the Big Bang Theory. They believe in Darwin. They believe in evolution. And they don't want to hear facts. They don't want to hear how their facts don't add up. And they don't want to hear the holes that are in their theory. And they don't want to talk about how their thing is not a law. It's a theory. It's not a law. Why isn't it a law? If it's a provable fact, it ought to be a law. Evolution is a theory. Darwin is a theory. Has no fact behind it. Has no truth behind it. Yet they want us to believe it. They are critical of those who do not accept many of their basic premises and in their belief system. If you don't believe their belief system, if you don't believe their facts, then you're uneducated. And it's beyond your understanding and you're just plain ignorant. Remember carbon dating? You ever want to read something very interesting? Read about carbon dating and how they date things. And you will find there's so much in it that's up there. It's just nothing more than suspect because they really don't have a theory. Carbon dating is a theory. It's not a fact. I remember a few years back, they found a piece of wood. And they thought, and they dated it to be 1 billion years old. Come to find out, about 6 months later, came off a ship that went down in 1844. Carbon dating. All it is a theory. It's a scientific theory. And evolution in theory, and those who oppose creation, and those who oppose the Bible, where are the facts? And here is one of the things that you'll hear. Well, you creationists, you have no evidence. Where's your evidence? I got the same evidence I got. What's the difference? Interpretation of the evidence. They interpret it, natural cause. The Bible interprets it, intelligent design. Same evidence. Same evidence they'll offer, the same evidence I would offer you. It just has to be what your mindset is, what you believe and why you believe it. But you know, the Greek thinkers, they're often pushed away from God. Their theory and their illogical conclusions often push them farther and farther away from God. But sometimes, and very often they're pushed towards God. Because, you know, they can't reason it out. They can't think it out. They can't produce it on a piece of paper. They can't make a scientific equation that comes out. And all of a sudden, when you put God in the equation, then it begins to make a little sense. Then it gives them something that they hadn't thought about before. And, you know, more and more, there are people who are coming to the point that maybe this thing about creation, maybe there is something to it. And, you know, one of the things that's led to that belief is called theistic evolution. Do you know what theistic evolution is? It's the best of both worlds. You see, natural cause, oh, that's true, but you see, it was through natural cause, but God created through natural cause. You see, God took the evolutionary process and He used it to create. And so you have both God working together with evolution. That's wishful thinking. But that's how they're trying to do is say that we have some common ground. Let me tell you something very plain. If you forget everything I said this morning, I want you to remember this. There is no common ground. Natural cause and intelligent design are opposite each other. There is no common ground. One is right, one is wrong. They both can't be right. It's not a combination of the two. It's either intelligent design or it's natural cause. It's not a mixture of anything. Somebody's got to make a decision. Somebody's got to make a decision. And often they're pushed towards God. In this list, if you can read this chart, there's a tidal wave of new books that are threatening to shatter the confidence titles like Darwin Retired, Macbeth, The Neck of the Giraffe, where Darwin went wrong in 1982. Hitching the Great Evolution Mystery of 1983, Taylor the Bone Peddlers, Selling Evolution in 1984, Fitz Darwin Was Wrong, A Theory of Probabilities of 1984, Carl and Darwinism, The Refutation of a Myth, and Adam and the Evolution in 1984 by Pittman. Not one of these books is written from a Christian apologetic point of view. They are concerned only with scientific truth. And as Sir Ernest Chain once called evolution a fairy tale. What I'm telling you, they flood the market. They flood the market with their theories. But they are theories. They are not fact. Do not look at them as fact. If you will read the book, you will find them absolute fact. You will find them absolute truth. With an evolutionist, there is no absolute truth. Why? Here's why. No starting point. If you're going to talk about origin, you must have a beginning point. What is their beginning point? They will clearly tell you they do not have one. Everything started with an animal, okay? Where did the animal come from? Well, we're still working on that. When you find the answer to that, you let me know. You see, you've got to begin with something. Something does not come from nothing. That is a scientific principle. You've got to have something to begin with before you can create anything. But they've got it backwards in their theory. They've got something resulting from nothing. That's unscientific. But that's their argument. You know what smart professors do? Here's what Arthur Wilder Smith said. I found this very interesting. He said the evolutionary model says that it is not necessary to assume the existence of anything besides matter and energy to produce life. That proposition is unscientific. We know perfectly well that if you leave matter to itself, it does not organize itself, in spite of all the efforts in recent years to prove that it does. Now this is somebody that's a scientist, and he says their theory is unscientific. You can't have something from nothing. But you read their books. You look at your books of your kids in school. They talk as if evolution and Darwin is a proven scientific fact. It is far from it. It is far from it. But smart professors use classroom intimidation because of their credentials. They have PhDs. They're scientists. They study this stuff all their life. They're smarter than you. Are they smarter than God? I don't think they're smarter than God. Here's something they cannot overcome. How is there order in creation? Who can deny the order of creation? Take a look around, folks. Look at the earth. Look at the heavens. Look at the atmosphere. Look at all the order that's in the universe. Who can deny that? Do you believe that just happened? Do you believe that a bunch of elements and molecules just came together and bam, here we are? And then man crawled out of the water. He grew feet, he grew arms, he grew a skeleton system, he grew a brain, and then he began to walk and talk and think. If you're an evolutionist, that's what you believe. And they think I believe in a fairy tale. But here's what I believe. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, here's what God's word says. He says, since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. You know what that means? That means when you look at the invisible things, by the visible things that you can see, you know that there is order. You know that somebody had to create it. And that man is without excuse in not believing in God and not believing in intelligent design. Because creation itself is evidence that God exists today on your way out. You go out there and look in the parking lot. Look at all those automobiles out there. And what's one thing you know just by looking in the parking lot? Somebody built that automobile. Somebody designed it. Somebody put it together. Somebody put all the pieces. So when you put the key in the ignition and you turn it, it runs, and it runs very reliable. Why? Because somebody created it. Did it just appear there? I can look at my watch, and I can know there was a watchmaker. We had to put all those little trinkets in the back, and I had to put all those, synchronize all the parts, that it keeps time, and that it tells me the date, it tells me the time. I can look at that and know that somebody designed that. And brethren, when I look at the heavens, and I look at the earth, and I look at the stellar atmosphere, and I look at the planets, and I look at all of that, it tells me somebody put them there. Somebody created it. It didn't just happen. The man is without excuse when he looks. They cannot overcome the evidence of Jesus. Remember what John said at the end of John 20? He said, truly did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in his name. I didn't see him walk on the water, but I know he did. I didn't see him heal Lazarus after 4 days, but I know he did. I didn't see Noah build the ark, but I know he did. I didn't see Abel offer a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, but I know that he did. And I know that as much as I know that I've got a brain in my head. I didn't see that either. Well, I did on an MRI one time. But I knew it before then. Do I have to see it? Is it not real because I wasn't there? Is it not real because it's not a living eyewitness? How many of you believe George Washington was the first president we had? You didn't see him. But you believe he was our first president, don't you? Why? By the evidence. By the evidence. Jesus was a real person. He lived on this earth for 33 years. He did things that men cannot comprehend nor understand. But it happened. It happened. And so all the smart professors and any kind of classes, intimidation is not going to overturn my faith in God. My faith in His Word, my faith in the only accurate record that's left for man. And that's the Bible. The Bible's internal and external evidence cannot be denied. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means it's God-breathed. And it's proper for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped to every good work. No, ladies and gentlemen, He did not tell us everything. He did not answer all the questions we might have. He may not give us all the answers that we wish we had, but He gave us enough. He gave us enough that we might know, that we could comprehend, that we could understand, and it all comes down to a matter of faith, doesn't it? Why do some believe the Bible and some don't? It's a matter of faith. But yet in over 2,000 years, has anybody proved it to be inaccurate? Has anybody proved any scientific fact to be inaccurate in the Bible? Has any historical thing been found? Has any historical city or ruin of a city been found? Has there been any fact that's ever been undermined or shown to be wrong or contradicted in the Bible? Not one. Wonder why that is. I guess that just happened, just like we got here. That just happened. It's just a coincidence. No, it's not a coincidence. It's because this book came from God. And you know why that's important? Well-grounded conviction. In Hebrews 6 and verse 18, it says, by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge and lay hope on that hope that was set before us. This is not just some mere fairy tale. In the beginning, God created the earth. That's a fact. Why? Because God said it. God said He created the earth in 6 days. That's a fact. Why? Because God's book says it. Exodus 20, verse 11. Man was created from the dust of the ground. That's a fact. Why? Because God's book says it. Genesis 3, verse 17. The Bible says that God created. That's a fact. Because God said it. That all the evolutionists And all the scientists and all the believers in Darwin lined up will never be able to unearth that. And they'll be never able to deny it. Let them prove it wrong. They're trying. But how are they trying to prove that it's wrong? By destroying the credibility of the Bible. See, if they can prove the Bible's not what it claims to be, where would our evidence be? You ever think about that? If they could prove that the Bible is a flawed work, where would that put your evidence? Don't worry, brethren. That's a fight that they're not going to win. The book will be facing in judgment. It will say what it says then is what it will say now. They cannot overcome other smart, educated scientists who can counter-argue with the best of skeptical professors. One of the things I would highly recommend you to do sometime, if you ever have opportunity to hear a lecture given, we have some members of the Lord's Church who are preachers and they're also scientists by occupation. One of the best ones I've ever heard is Buddy Payne. And you can call the Guardian the Truth and you can get a set of a series that he did, Creation versus the World. And he can use their arguments, their terminology. He studied it. He understands it. He can argue and he can show that it agrees with the biblical account. We have nothing to be afraid of. We're not a bunch of people who are just ignorant. And we believe in legend and fairy tale. We stand on rock solid ground. We stand on rock solid evidence. Who would say that if you stand with God that you're in the wrong place? I'm not in the wrong place. Certainly not indeed. Let God be true and every man a liar. As it is written, that you may be justified in your words and may overcome when you're judged. Let me tell you, here's the basic concept. When there is conflict between what men say and what God says, man is wrong 100% of the time. And God is right 100% of the time. There is no conflict to the true Bible believer. There is no conflict to those who believe in divine intelligence and divine origin. But I want you to look at some things with me this morning, very briefly. I want to ask some basic questions, and we're going to look at the two answers. See which one you think is more reasonable. The origin. Where did we come from? Is that one of the questions of life? Where did we come from? Who are we? Who is this human? What is a human being? Who is he? Why are we here? Are we here to live a few years and then pass from the scene and let somebody else take our place? Is that what we were created for? Is that why we're here? Morality, how should we live? What kind of life should we live? How should we conduct ourselves while we live here? Do we have any sense of that? Where are we going? Every day you open up the paper, look at the obituary. People are dying. Where do they go? They're talking about the grave. Where do they go? What happens when life ends? Science and human wisdom alone cannot answer these questions. Science does not have the answer. They will never have the answer. That all their education put together will never give you the accurate answer to these questions. There's only one source to the answer to these questions. And it's God. Let's look at them very briefly. Origin. Where did we come from? Now, there are two theories. One is where we were created by a higher being. We were created by some intelligent design. Or accidents that occurred when eternal particles bumped together at the right place at the right time, and hocus pocus, here we are. Which is it? And the Lord God formed man of dust of the ground and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life. The man became a living soul. You have life because God gave it to you. You are an individual because you have a soul. You have an inner being. And that can't be cloned. That can't be reproduced. That is something that's individual. And that's something that came from God. And man had nothing to do with that whatsoever. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7, the Bible says the Spirit will go back to God who gave it. What makes you unique? What makes you the person that you are? It's not just your name that's different. It is the soul that's in your body that's different. There are no two souls that are alike. It is individual. It is our inner being. It is the eternal part of man. And you know what? That's the part you can't see. But that's what makes us different than anything that God created. We are the only part of the creation that has an inner being. And we are here because God gave us life. Without God, there is no life. Without God, there is no existence. There is no origin. Everything begins and ends with God. Period. That's the truth. Let man try to get around it. Who are we? Who are we as human beings? Two theories. Exalted, special creatures made in the image of their Creator. Or, we evolved to be smarter than animals, mysteriously formed by a series of particle accidents. Brethren, I think you better be careful arguing that we're smarter than animals or some people will give you a run for their money. Did we evolve? Did we just somehow evolve from a lower species to what we are today? Is that how I got here? Is that who I am? I'm just a lower class of an animal. Let us make man in our image. According to our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. We are made in the image of God. God gave us to have dominion over this earth, not the earth to have dominion over us. Exactly backwards. Man has it backwards today. The earth was created to benefit us. We were not created to benefit the earth. The earth was something that was given to man by God as his dwelling place, as his habitation. And God said, you are to have dominion. You know what dominion means? That means authority. That means control. Man has it, not the earth. And I'm not a lower class of an animal. I am distinct from an animal. Why? Because I can reason. I can think. I have intelligence. I can figure things out. I don't have to do things by instinct. I can train. I can make choice. And I can do what I choose to do. That makes me different than an animal. What animal has that ability? Well, you can train an animal to do a lot of things. I just saw my daughter and son-in-law and my grandchildren, and they got a dog named Charlie. First thing you do when he comes in the house is put his paw up to shake his paw. He wasn't born to do that. They trained him to do that. I meet you the first time I shake your hand, and I wasn't trained to do that either. That's not instinct. That's something I taught myself. The difference between me and Charlie, I can reason that out. I can think of that out, and I can think when it's appropriate and when it's not. Charlie will do it under any condition, doesn't matter who it is. But I can reason it out. That's the difference between me and an animal. You're not a lower class of an animal. You never were an animal. You're not to live like an animal. And you don't think like an animal. You are of higher intelligence. And you didn't evolve. God made you in His image. What that means is you have an inner quality of your life. There is no doggy heaven, I'm afraid. There is no animal plot in the sky. We are the only ones that live after death. That makes us different. If animals were like us, then they would have souls. They do not. We are the only ones of God's creatures that have souls. We are a higher class. Why are we here? What's the meaning of our life? Two things. One, to fulfill the Creator's plan and will for an eternal relationship with Him in the after a while. Or, no purpose. Accidents cannot really have any purpose, can they? If you're an accident, you really don't have a purpose. What's your aim? Grab all the dust in your hand. You can and live as long as you can, enjoy it as long as you can, and do it for as long as you can. A lot of people like that theory. But that's what it is. It's a theory. Well, you see, God answers that question. But let us hear the conclusion of the matter. Fear God. Keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. You were put here to serve your Creator. You were here to glorify Him. You were put here to honor Him. You were put here to do His bidding, to do His work, to spread His message, to spread the burdens of His kingdom. You weren't put here for your own personal gratification and pleasure. You have a higher calling than that. But men would have us believe that life's about me. You see, that's the meaning of life to the majority of people today. It's about me. It's about what I want, what I desire, where I want to take my life, what I want to do with it. And then I can let anybody tell them what to do. Oh, yes, you will. Satan's got a hold of you. And he's bought you, he sold you a bill of goods, and you took it hook, line, and sinker. This theory that, oh, nobody's going to tell me what to do, I got news for you folks. You're in one camp or the other today. You either got God as the one telling you what to do, or Satan's telling you what to do. You can't have it both ways. Read Matthew 6, verse 24. We are here to do the will of God. But to do that, how should we live? What kind of life should I live? Well, there's two theories about that, too. In harmony with our high standards of holiness as revealed by our holy Creator. Or, we should live like an animal. Survival is the main principle. Now I'm going to tell you, here's where man's got it confused. Because he lives like an animal. Animals have instinct. They can't control their passions. That's what's wrong. But man does that by choice. Animals do it by instinct. We do it by choice. We don't have to live like an animal. We can control it. Let me ask you something today. If man controlled their passions, wouldn't there be an epidemic like AIDS? Would there? What if 90% of the AIDS virus, where is it contacted? In drug use and homosexual activity. If man could control his passion, his drug problem, and his moral commitment, would there be such an epidemic? If man controlled their passions, would there ever be a thing like abortion? Would there be 1.3 million abortions a year if man could control his passion? Would there be such a thing? When over 90% of abortions are to get an unwanted pregnancy because I don't want to be bothered, because it interferes with the life I want to live? You see, we're in this mess because we live like an animal. Not because we were created that way. But because we choose to live that way. Here's what God said about it. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteous, and godly in this present world. You know what God's word says? Live above it. God says live above it. You don't have to live by their standard. You don't have to live by their principles. You don't have to live by their conduct. You can live above it. Can't you? We can live above that, can't we? It's what we choose to do. God put us all here to live above it. But we can choose to live below it if we choose to. And then the question of all questions. Where are we going? We're not going to live forever. Natural lifespan may be 70 years plus 10. If you're over 80 years, you're on borrowed time. And I don't have to tell any of you that because you understand that. But where our life's going to end. It may not live at 70. It may not end at 80. It may end at 10, 15, 20, 30. Who knows? But your life's going to end. What happens when we die? Two things. We go back and face God and be judged. and sins according to the choices we made in this life. Or, no destiny, just cessation and death. You're like Rover, you're dead all over. But the good book says, for we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Each one of us may receive the things done in the body according to what he's done, whether it be good or whether it be bad. You know what? We're all going to experience this. Wouldn't you hate to be on the wrong side of this proposition? Wouldn't you hate to be facing death, not knowing what was going to happen? But you know, millions of people are in that predicament. I've had people tell me, well, death, that's just your ride's over. It's like getting on a ride in the roller. Like going to the amusement park, you go around, and sooner or later you ride in. That's what life's about. You just go around, and when you're time to get off, you get off, let somebody else get back on. What a disaster to live a life with that kind of a conclusion. You know, when I look at life, and I see the misery that people have to deal with, the pain, the anguish, the heartache, the suffering, the injustice, I know there's something better than this. I know God has something better in store. I know that God has something better in mind. And you know what? I don't want to wait till my death till I realize that I was wrong about that. I try to picture in my mind how a person could be facing death and not have one clue to think that maybe there is life after death. But what have I done with my life? How have I lived it? Wouldn't that be a terrible time to be considering it? Three major religious worldviews. Theism says that God made all things. Judaism, Christianity, and even Islam, to some degree, believe that there is a creator. Now, we differ on who that creator is, but all of us in those religions believe that there is a creator of intelligent design. Inner pantheism, which means that God is all, means he's in everything. Buddhist, Hinduism, New Age, we're all God. We're just on a different level. In Hinduism, there's 330 million gods. You think the Old Testament, they had a lot of sacrifices? How'd you like to memorize that list? 330 million gods. There's gods for everything. And then you have the atheist, who doesn't believe in God at all. He believes in religious humanism. He believes in himself. He believes that his life's about him. One says there's a creator. Others say it's natural cause. And the other says we were just here by an accident. But you got to choose. You got to determine what you believe. I'm not one that likes facts and figures very much, but this one caught my eye. The maximum possible number of life support bodies in the universe, thus less than one chance in 208 million trillion, followed by 21 trillion, that just one person got here by accident. But we believe 300 over a billion, 6 billion people in the world, and they all got here by accident. What kind of statistic do you think that would be? If you can figure that out by math for me, you let me know. Existed even one life support body could occur anywhere in the universe without invoking a divine miracle. Those are the kind of statistics that it would take just to create one. Let me give you another illustration. You think we just got here by accident. You take a brand new gold, silver dollar. You put an X on the back of it. And then you take all the silver dollars it would take to put it all the way across the state of Texas, 2 feet deep. Put a man in the middle of Texas, tell him he can walk as far as he wants to the right, to the left, to the north, to the south, and the chance of him picking up that one silver dollar with the X on it is the same chance that it would take that we got here without any divine intervention. I remember it this way too. In a debate, remember years ago, man was debating an atheist. And he was ridiculing the fact that he believed in intelligent design. And so he took his watch off. He had a handkerchief. And he took it out. He had a little hammer on the podium. He says, "How many of you think that I could take that hammer, I can wrap this handkerchief, this watch and handkerchief, and beat this thing into a bunch of pieces, and I'll throw it against the wall, and when I open it up, it'll be a watch?" They laughed him to scorn. Then when they got done laughing, he says, "If you're an evolutionist, that's what you believe. You believe it just happened. All those pieces came together miraculously. And here we are. And you're laughing at my watch, but that's what you think how we got here. Brother, I can just look at the human body and know that it couldn't get here by accident. The most complicated thing in this universe is the human body. We learn more and more about it every day. Who put it all together? You know, I'm told that there are over 900 different things that have to happen in my eye just to make it blink. That just happened. A foreign substance comes into your body. And it taps your body, and within your body there will be cells that will come out and attack that to drive it out of your body. And then you know what it'll do? It'll go back in a memory bank. And if that substance ever comes in your body again, that memory will come out and attack it. You know how many of them you've got in your body? Millions of them. That just happened? How easy it is to twiggle your fingers. You know, your fingers couldn't move if they would get an impulse from your brain that moves down to your fingers and tells it to move. I wonder who put that electrical system together. You ever had any heart problems? I have atrial fibrillation. Went into that cardiologist and he's telling me, "I got a real mild case of it." He says, "But as you get older, you get more pronounced." He says, "We got this new thing that we can go in and we can cauterize certain things in your heart that give false signals, and we can separate them to where they won't send those signals anymore, and your heart will just beat regular. But we only do that if you have an extreme case." How do they know that? How do they know about those electric impulses that goes in my heart? How do they know about the blood and where it flows and where? How do they know that? How did that happen? Well, that just happened. You believe that just happened? You mean that's a perfect, that's an accident? What a coincidence? What about the central nervous system? It's the most complicated thing about us. Do you believe that this grew on its own? No, brethren, it didn't grow on its own. You know what that tells me? Intelligent design. Somebody put this body together, just like they put that car together, just like they put this watch together. Somebody did it, and that somebody's God. Not evolution. Not a Big Bang Theory. I didn't evolve from an anemia. I didn't grow up out of the water. I'm created in the image of God, and I'm proud that He created me. I'm proud that He gave me life. It's easy for me to give my life to Him since He gave me life. And brethren, I believe that's most reasonable. Don't you? Don't you believe it's more reasonable to understand that you have a Creator that gave you life, that sustained your life, and has promised you life hereafter, forever with Him, in a place where there's no pain, no sorrow, no agony, no sickness, no death, no crying? Such a place exists. It was created by the same God that created you. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, do not buy this bill of goods that the evolutionists sell. Do not let them shake your foundation of faith in God. Your faith in God is sure, it's strong. It's on stable evidence. It's on solid rock evidence. Don't let man shake that. But you know, we've all sinned, Romans 3:23. Sin is what separates us from God. Sin is the thing that puts us contrary to God's will, but God gave us a remedy to sin by the death of His Son, something we commemorated a few moments ago. By the shedding of His blood, He offered the divine remedy that sin does not have to kill you, that it can be overcome by faith, by turning away from sin, by confessing that you believe Jesus is the Christ, and by accepting the condition of baptism in order to contact the blood of Christ that will wash away your sin and make you a child of God, make you a joint heir, to give you new life, to make you born again spiritually in the family of God. You know what? God gave you that same choice that He does in everything in your life. He's not going to make any of you do it. I can't make you do it. No person can make you do it. It is a free moral choice that you must come to. If you're here and you're a child of God, that freedom of choice did not leave after you obeyed the gospel. You still have the ability to go back to the life that you left, to return to what you left. You have the ability to do that. That's a mistake, but you have the ability to do it. But God still loves you. He still cares for you. He'll take you back if you repent. Turn from your sin. Confess it. We'll pray with you for you that God will forgive you. Why do I believe in God? Because faith is God is the most reasonable conclusion. As together we stand and sing.